listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Giletto.
It feels good to say we've been, you know, we're back.
It feels so good, man. And we are back, and if you noticed, my intro is a little different. We're going to be more of a Flyers podcast from now on. You know, we're dropping 7 or 6 seconds, our famous world-renowned Sixer segment. We're dropping the Phillies talk. We're dropping the Eagles talk. We're going through a little bit of a rebrand. It's pretty much Flyers only at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Speaking of the Flyers, we've been gone for like 11 months, and a lot's happened. A lot has happened. In fact, I wrote a little list.
Okay.
So right after, 24 hours after we recorded our last show, it all started. Ron Hextall got fired. Then Carter Hart debuted. Then Fletcher was hired. Then Hextall was fired. Scott Gordon became the interim coach. We beat the Penguins in the Stadium Series game.
There you go.
Wayne Simmonds got traded. We missed the playoffs. We hired Alain Vigneault. We re-signed Travis Sanheim. We drafted Cam York. We traded for the rights to Kevin Hayes, and then we signed Kevin Hayes. We traded for Matt Niskanen and Justin Braun. Re-signed Provorov. Re-signed Konechny. Training camp started, and here we are.
Here we are.
And that's basically all that's happened.
1 in 11 months.
Right. We basically that basically sums up the 11 months that we weren't here.
Yeah.
And we're moving forward. Today we're going to be talking about basically what we've been up to since our last show, a season preview for the Philadelphia Flyers, and towards the end of the show, we're going to have a little conversation about the future of the show, because we are back, and we are back full-time, we are back weekly, we are back to our old schedule.
Yeah, it'll just be a different dynamic.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit towards the end. But so, how you been?
Good. Life's been busy.
Yep.
Life's been busy.
Last summer when we did the show, your wife had your first daughter.
Yep.
And you're now expecting your second. Congratulations. Yeah.
Things happen quick.
Yeah. Your family, when we started this show, it was just you and your wife.
Yep.
And moving forward, it'll be you, your wife, and your two children, which sounds weird.
Another daughter. So I'm outnumbered. I'm screwed.
Yeah. You guys are trying to buy a bigger house.
Yeah.
You're going through that whole rigmarole.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, my life hasn't really changed too much.
No.
You know, we got a cat. She's adorable.
Okay. I'm not a cat guy.
Yeah.
So.
You know, moved once or twice. And, you know, here we are. That doesn't matter. We're moving forward.
Right.
But speaking of moving forward, the Philadelphia Flyers are moving forward, going through training camp as we speak. As we speak, they're probably just landing in Europe.
They already landed.
Yeah, they landed
this morning. Yep.
So they are in Europe for the Global Series.
This morning,
Series.
Saturday.
Right.
Yep.
Saturday, day of recording.
Yep.
So they are in Europe for the Global Series. They will play an exhibition game against, I believe it's pronounced Lausanne.
They're playing a Swiss team
on Monday.
I think they're playing a Swiss national team.
No, it's a club team.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. And then next Friday, they will take on the Chicago Blackhawks in their season opener.
Yeah, an opener matinee our time.
Yeah, it's a 2:00 start time on Friday, which is a little strange. But
a little
again,
bit, yeah.
Time zones, Europe, you know.
Why don't they just make it Saturday, though? Like, just push it back the day, make it Saturday at 2:00.
Well, they got to get home and, you know, listen, I don't want to push off Flyers games any longer. I'm ready for the regular season.
That's true. We're ready for it.
The offseason has been a long one. You know, we talked about the Alain Vigneault hire. We talked about the Kevin Hayes signing, and my goodness, there was a lot of commotion about that.
Yeah,
people
for sure.
thought it was too long. People thought it was too many years. What did you think about the contract?
People said we need the center.
Yeah,
right. So in order to get a guy like Kevin Hayes, you're gonna have to pay.
That's I agree.
Just the truth.
And if you don't think Nolan Patrick is a 2C right now, and we'll get into him.
Yep.
Then you're gonna have to bring somebody in. And you always overpay in free agency.
Always.
My issue is more the 7 years than the $7 million.
A little bit. Like, I see what you're saying, but...
Just because if you're going to pay him $7 million, theoretically, you still want Nolan Patrick to grow and become your 2C.
Right.
So in, you know, let's say 2 years when Nolan Patrick kind of starts to come around and hopefully blossoms a little offensively, all of a sudden you're paying your third line center $7 million a year?
Yeah, that's when things get iffy, but... I mean, the cap should just keep going up.
Yeah, the NHL has a new TV deal coming in Canada and the United States.
I think it's 2 years away, 2 or 3 years away.
Right.
Yeah.
The Seattle money's coming in because the Seattle, you know, across the NHL, the Seattle expansion was also announced since our last show.
It
had been rumored, but it hadn't been confirmed, and Seattle has been officially confirmed. They will be entering the league in 2021-22 as the 32nd team. Yeah, they still don't have a name. We'll get into that. I'm sure we'll do a whole show at some point about what you think they should be called. You know, maybe during the bye week.
All right.
Or next summer. But
next summer they might have a name.
They'll probably have a name. Yeah. Then. That's fine. But either way.
Year out, you think, at that point? Yeah.
But I also think they'll have Ron Hextall in their front office by then.
They announced the GM. I forget who it was.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's there.
Maybe. I mean, that sounds like it has Hextall's name written all over
it. Exactly. He's got a blank slate.
Yeah.
And I think a blank slate would be good for him because he doesn't have to clean up Paul Holmgren's messes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's another issue.
Well, yeah, Paul Holmgren is still with the organization. So
yeah, is he though? Like
he is, and you and I were talking about this the other day. I love the fact that Fletcher is the president as well as the GM, because hopefully that keeps Paul Holmgren's, you know, interference as minimal as possible.
Yeah, like. This is kind of harsh for me to say, but I don't think the Flyers are winning a cup as long as Paul Holmgren's anywhere near the Flyers. As long as he is hired by the Philadelphia Flyers, they're not going to win a cup.
Yeah, but that being said, he put Fletcher in place.
Yeah.
And so far,
Did he, though? How much of that was Dave Scott?
Okay, regardless, power has been pulled out of Paul Holmgren's hands.
Yeah.
You know, whether he wanted to give it up or not. And it has now been placed in the hands of Chuck Fletcher. And so far, I'm pretty impressed with what Chuck Fletcher's been doing.
I like the Niskanen move. Niskanen is a far better player than Radko Gudas.
Braun is a little more questionable.
Right. Braun, you traded a set. Like, if they traded a fifth-round pick for Braun, fine, no risk, whatever, fine.
Sure.
But to trade a second and a third for a guy who's average?
Right.
I mean, it just, I feel like there's other options there.
Oh, yeah, but think about it logically. If you're Chuck Fletcher, you just got this job. This is your first summer with the team. How much, and you just saw that they fired Ron Hextall basically because he was too patient.
Right.
Why don't you look at this roster and say, let's make some moves to win now?
No, I get that.
And as a GM, how safe is your job? Like, how long until those second and third round picks are make an impact on the NHL team?
Sure, yeah.
So for him, it's job security. It's you don't have to
if it works.
Well, sure, if it works. And if Justin Braun is a 6-7 defenseman, you know, sixth or seventh on your depth chart, maybe sometimes, you know, he's in the press box. I don't love giving up a second and a third for him, but
right.
If it gets you in the playoffs.
And I'm not so far he's looked good.
Yeah, and if you have two injuries on the decor, which is entirely possible, Justin Braun is a perfectly serviceable, you know, fourth or fifth guy. You don't love it. You're not excited about it. But, you know, if you have two defensemen go down, you're in trouble anyway.
Yeah, for the most part. Like, depending on what defensemen they are. I just feel like for a second and third, and, like, obviously I'm not privy to the information, but I feel like there's somebody else that was better that they could have got there.
I'd be willing to say that. You know, you saw Chicago trade Henry Jokiharju. You know, he's a little bit of a prospect, right. But he's still, you know.
And just the other day, Justin Falk got traded for Joel Edmondson. Now, granted, it was a solid prospect that went the other way.
Right. And Carolina's not trading Justin Falk in the division.
I always forget Carolina's in the division. Yeah, I mean, they're just out of sight, out of mind at
this point.
Because
they weren't until a couple years ago.
Yeah. But, like, try to compare a trade to the Justin Falk trade to see what the Flyers could have given up. Would you have given up Robert Hagg and Morgan Frost?
Probably not.
Okay.
Now, if Justin Falk's willing to sign a 7x6.5 extension,
I think that's what it did sign.
I'm thinking about it. You know, but on its surface, just trading for Justin Falk, the guy with 1 year left, probably not.
Right.
Now, again,
that's probably a comparable
trade
right there.
Maybe not Morgan Frost. Dominic Bach is a good player. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
but Edmondson's better than Hagg. So I feel like they even themselves out.
You know what? That's not a terrible comparison. Yeah. I don't even know where Justin Falk would fit in on this team. Like, if you trade for Justin Falk instead of Braun, then who goes to your third pair? Because it's one of Niskanen, Provorov, Gostisbehere, Sanheim. Niskanen goes to the third pair?
No. Niskanen, I think Niskanen and Provi is a good combo. I like them together.
That's what I'm saying. So Niskanen would go to the third pair in that case. Or Sanheim.
I'm honestly Ghost.
It's not going to happen. I understand what you're saying, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
Now, you could still get him as ice time if he's playing third line.
Because he's still going to be on the power play.
Still on the first power play unit. You can, you know, put him out there in the last 2 minutes of the game. He would still get his ice time, so I get where you're coming from. But I don't know. That
and
kind
he still
of depth,
needs to work on his defensive game, too, at Gostisbehere. For sure. He's still a liability back there.
So, you know, you could say that Justin Falk would kind of teach him how to play offensively while still being defensively responsible.
Right.
Because Falk has always been great at that.
Yeah. For sure. Now, Falk's a very good player.
Yeah. The Stanley Cup champions just added a really good player. And that's a scary concept.
Sure. Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, a pretty significant upgrade from Joel Edmondson. And Joel Edmondson's not bad. But Justin Falk.
Edmondson's a very underrated player. I like Edmondson a lot.
Justin Falk should be an all-star candidate every year. Pretty much.
Yeah, like where does he slot into that team? Next to Pietrangelo? No, because then Parayko's there.
See,
they
if
have
I'm
a very
them,
good team.
I know.
Very good defensive core.
Falk is either the best, you know, third or second pairing defenseman in the league, or you put him with Pietrangelo and put Parayko on the second pair. Like it's
and Parayko becomes a very good second.
That's what
second
I'm saying.
Pair player. Yeah, like they have a very good defensive core.
Yeah, that St. Louis team, and we'll touch on it a little bit here. That St. Louis team is pretty ride or die with Jordan Binnington.
Yeah, they're not going to do that again.
I was going to say, I know you and I talked about it, and you don't think that Binnington can replicate the magic of last year.
No, he kind of came out of nowhere.
It
so
was,
like
it was lightning in a bottle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Flash in a pan, lightning in a bottle, whatever cliche you want to use, but
right.
I just, until he proves it in a
for
more
a
consistent state, then it's hard for me to say he's going to do this again.
Now, touching, I'm going to branch off that and talk about a division rival here real quick. Would you put him, Binnington, I mean, in the same category as like a Mackenzie Blackwood up in New Jersey?
I mean, Binnington showed a little more than Blackwood has.
Yeah, he's also a little bit older, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So he should be further along, right?
Yeah, and
because Binnington's not Carter Hart.
No, but
you know,
it's also...
He is 25?
25, 26, something like that.
He's been around.
Yeah, he's been kind of in the minor system. It's a little different because Mackenzie Blackwood... I mean, New Jersey's weird because they still have Corey Schneider, who they're paying a ton of money to.
Who sometimes just decides he doesn't know how to play hockey.
Yeah, and at times he looks terrific. Like 2-3 years ago, I would have said he was a top five goalie in the league.
Yeah, because I do want to touch on all the division teams, and we might as well just start here with New Jersey. They probably had the biggest offseason in the whole NHL.
Yeah.
They won the draft lottery, got Jack Hughes. Mm-hmm. They made a massive trade for PK Subban where they, as far as I'm concerned, they paid nothing. It was like Steven Santini and a third. It was
like
something atrociously low for the price of PK Subban because Nashville needed to move his money to get Matt Duchene.
Right. And nobody was willing to retain
exactly
on him.
New Jersey was the only team
That's what I meant. Yeah. Every team wanted to retain. New Jersey was the only one that took on full salary.
The only team that was willing to take on all 7.5 or eight or whatever
like that,
PK Subban makes for the last 2 or 3 years of the deal.
Yeah, and then they got Nikita Gusev. Quote-unquote, the next Panarin.
Right, you add Jack Hughes by picking first overall. Do you think they're a playoff team?
I think they're bubble. I mean, they had a bad season last year, but you got to remember, Taylor Hall was hurt for a majority of that.
He
played like 15 games.
And he was the league MVP the year before that.
Yeah.
You know, your reigning league MVP misses 50, 60 games.
Right.
It's going to be tough to come back, especially when your goalie can't figure out if he wants to play.
For sure. So if Mackenzie Blackwood is what he was last year,
they
could be a playoff team. I think they'll be a bubble team. I think they still have issues, even with Jack Hughes down the middle. After Hughes and Hischier, it kind of falls off pretty quick.
Even Hischier, honestly, is only okay as a center. I think he would be far better suited as a wing.
Yeah, he almost falls into the Nolan Patrick level.
Yeah, where he just hasn't lived up to the same draft.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I don't think either the Flyers nor the Devils got the best player in that draft.
No, I mean, you look at
it. That was Elias Pettersson, right?
Elias Pettersson, Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, those were your number one and number two, and they weren't going to pick anybody else.
Oh, no, those were the right picks at the time.
Right. But you can't definitively say that the Devils screwed up by taking Hischier over Patrick.
No.
Because, you know, touching on Patrick real quick, he's currently week to week with, you know, a chronic migraine syndrome.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how this just all happened.
Yeah.
And it makes you think if they, maybe they knew back in July when they signed Hughes, or not Hughes,
Hayes.
Hayes, yeah.
Maybe, and we'll circle around on that. So the other team in that area that had a big offseason was the New York Rangers. They got second in the draft and got Capo Caco.
Yep.
And then they went out and signed the biggest free agent of the summer, for sure. Oh, the biggest unrestricted free agent. We'll talk about the RFAs.
Yeah. Yep.
The biggest unrestricted free agent of the summer in Artemi Panarin.
Yep.
Henrik Lundqvist, Mika Zibanejad, Artemi Panarin, Capo Caco. Are the New York Rangers a playoff team?
And you're forgetting another big piece that they added from the Winnipeg Jets, Jacob Trouba.
Oh, right. Jacob Trouba, the guy who decided that he wanted to play in New York, so now he's playing
else.
In New York.
Yep. Yeah.
It's unreal.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, Adam Fox went there, too, for basically the same reason.
It's a little different. I think Fox is from the area.
It's
or from
basically
New York area.
The same reason.
And then Trouba's wife like wanted to be a resident at some hospital.
I think it's his girlfriend is in the medical industry and wants to work in New York.
Yep.
No, I get the reasoning, but it's just so funny that they're like, yep, the only team we're going to play for is the New York Rangers. And their teams went, all right, cool, let's trade you to the New York Rangers.
And that's
Rangers.
Pretty much what Panarin said. I mean,
it's a little different
because
he's
vague.
A UFA.
Yeah, a little,
he walked
yeah.
on his own, you know, of his own accord.
Right.
And he entertained the idea of going to Florida with Bob. And, you know, he talked to some other teams, but, you know, he teased the idea of going back to Columbus. And there was the vodka company that offered him free vodka for life if he re-signed right. there. And, you know, stuff like that. But we kind of always knew he was going to end up in New York. But
yeah.
Do you think they're a playoff team?
If Lundqvist is Lundqvist, again, I think they could be there. I think they'll be a bubble team. I'm not ready to say they're going to run away with the division yet. A lot of people might say that, oh, they're the front runner after all these moves.
They're absolutely not the front runner.
No,
I don't think the Devils are closer to being the front runner than.
Yeah, I don't think the Rangers are there yet.
Who's the Rangers' best defenseman?
The best defense.
Tony D'Angelo.
No, I mean he's too offensive.
I think he's their best defenseman.
I might go Trouba.
Okay. I keep forgetting that they got Trouba. Yeah. It's definitely
they have
Trouba.
Trouba, Fox.
Yeah, but Fox is a rookie.
Yeah, for sure. And
is he playing this year, or did he go back to college? Like, what's the deal with him?
Well, he signed, so he can't go back to college.
Okay, that's what I was asking. I didn't know if he signed.
Yeah, he signed back. That's when they traded for him.
Okay.
He went and signed with
Carolina?
Carolina or Calgary. He was with both of those teams.
Right. Yeah, I think he came to New York from Calgary, I'm pretty sure. Carolina traded him to Calgary in the Dougie Hamilton deal.
Yeah. So then the New York traded for him, and immediately he signed.
Okay. I didn't know he had signed his deal. Okay. So
I'm pretty sure he's making the team. I don't know if they'll send him that back down.
I imagine he'll probably play with the Rangers because there's just nobody there.
Right.
And
that's how you sold it to him back when you got him. Back when you signed him.
Hey, here's a shot to make an NHL roster.
Exactly.
So you don't think they're a playoff team?
I think they're close, but ultimately, no.
Okay. I agree with you there. Pittsburgh Penguins.
And back to the Rangers. Other than Zibanejad, who I don't even think is a top shelf center.
Now, he's probably a 2C or even a 3C on a good team. And he's their first line center by
that,
a long
they
shot.
They got nothing. And Lias Anderson, who was the 7th overall pick 2 or 3 years ago, hasn't really lived up to potential yet. Now, granted, he's 19 years old.
Right. And it's a bad team around him. He's got nobody on his wings.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I don't think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
You know, Henrik Lundqvist could pull 12 shutouts out of his, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he had a down year last year, but, like, he could just turn it on at any moment.
He's one of those goalies.
He just can.
He's nuts.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
He can just steal games at will.
It's incredible how good Metro goaltending has been, like, throughout our lifetimes. You know, the Rangers had Mike Richter forever.
Yep.
The New Jersey Devils had Martin Brodeur,
best goalie of all time, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh has gone from Marc-Andre Fleury to Matt Murray, who's good if not very good.
And we've been searching one since the 80s. So hey, there's that.
Listen, we'll get there because Carter Hart's here to stay. But let's keep moving along. How about the Pittsburgh Penguins? I'm gonna hit you with a hot take right off the bat here. The Pittsburgh Penguins missed the playoffs this year.
Like,
I don't know how hot a take that is.
Well,
but
talent-wise, it's not a hot take, but I look at Sidney
Crosby.
You
look at any team with Sidney Crosby and
I look at Sidney Crosby.
Malkin
I see Evgeny Malkin. I even see, you know, Chris Letang. And these guys just make the playoffs year in, year out.
Yeah.
They just do. And until they don't, I can't go against them. I just can't.
I think it's something like a 13-year drought.
Is it?
Or a 13-year streak of them making the playoffs.
I believe that.
Which is absurd.
Which is probably how long Crosby's been in the league.
pretty close. They were bad his first year when Mario came in.
Right.
And then I think the next year they got Gino from Russia. And then after that, it was just automatic.
Yeah.
They went to the cup finals against Detroit in 2008, and, you know, that was it. But, no, I think they missed the playoffs this year. I think
I hope so.
Matt Murray is too inconsistent. He doesn't always stay healthy. It's one of those things. If he, you know, is hurt or is bad, then they're just not going to make the playoffs. They traded away Phil Kessel. Alex Galchenyuk is not as good.
I always forget about that. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Galchenyuk is just not as good.
Galchenyuk can be a 60-point guy.
Sure, but especially if you put Phil Kessel's a 40-goal guy.
Sure, but if you put anybody next to Crosby, I mean, I don't know who he's playing with, Crosby or Malkin, but either or, he could just put up goals at will.
Yep, no,
next, I agree. Next to those guys. I mean, Galchenyuk might be the best. I mean, if he plays on the wing, I don't know where they have him in the lineup. If he plays next to Crosby, that might be the best winger Crosby's ever had.
Yeah, because him and Phil didn't work.
Other than maybe Gensel. Gensel's a very underrated player. But
yeah, him and Phil didn't work. Phil would have been better if they had had any chemistry at all, but they just didn't. Yeah, do you think the Penguins are a playoff team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because, like I said, they keep doing it. So until they don't, I can't go against them.
Now you have what? The Devils on the bubble and the Penguins in?
Yep.
And then Rangers out. And I have all three teams out that we've talked about.
Yeah.
Well, I think five teams are making it from the Atlantic.
Do you really?
Yep.
Oh, well, good. We'll get to that eventually.
We'll talk about that. Maybe not even with you. Maybe next week, and we'll get into that.
Right.
So moving along, the Washington Capitals, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Holtby, they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, they're in.
Can we just skip them? Everyone knows how good they are. It's basically the same roster that won the Cup 2 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
Evgeny Kuznetsov will play 79 games at most this year. Right. Suspended for three for lying about doing coke. For lying about doing coke.
For getting caught. That's pretty much what it was.
For getting caught and lying about it. If he had come out and been like, yeah, I did it.
Right.
He wouldn't have gotten suspended.
Right.
Maybe
because cocaine
game.
Is not a banned substance by the NHL.
It's not a performance enhancing.
No. which is crazy because, like, if somebody's, you know, does
if
a line right before
coke,
a shift,
right.
I mean, they're going to go nuts.
Right. He's doing bumps in the locker room right before the 5-minute overtime.
It seems like a performance enhancer to me.
I wouldn't know. I don't have any experience with cocaine, but I imagine it would probably get you fired up.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, he's going to miss three games, but you know, they have Tom Wilson and Radko Gudas on the same team. Do they lead the league in penalty minutes?
Right?
By that?
Yeah, they have to.
Right? It's either them or, you know, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Or Vegas, because they have Ryan Reeves. Like, that's
true,
all it is.
Yeah. Or the Flyers, because they're going to have Chris Stewart.
let's not even talk about that. Oh, my God. Okay, so the Capitals are in for sure. Who else we got? Carolina. What do you think about Carolina?
Carolina's good. They just with the joke of an offer sheet. Well, I know we'll get to the RFAs later.
We will talk about that.
But with the joke of the offer sheet that Aho got, they have Aho on an extremely good deal.
At 5 years at like 8.6 or something like that. That's an insane contract, especially because they didn't have any money spent anyway.
Right.
That's where Patrick Marleau's contract got sent to get bought out.
You have one more year of Svechnikov.
On his ELC.
Their defense is very good. The only question mark
is goaltending.
Exactly. It's goaltending.
Curtis McElhinney stood on his head all season last year, gone.
And Mrazek. Mrazek played terrific.
So it's Mrazek and who else?
James Reimer. And there's somebody else battling in that spot.
Right.
It wasn't Nedeljkovic because Nedeljkovic got sent back to Charlotte.
You would think that Mrazek will be the starter there. Huh?
You would think. Hey, it's the first time we've done that.
I'm sure it won't be the last.
Yeah, it should be Mrazek.
Mrazek
probably,
getting the lion's share of the starts with
Reimer
getting 30-35.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about right. Mrazek's probably your one, and if his time in Philadelphia is any indication, it's going to be bad, but it won't be because Carolina has a better defense in front of them.
They have a terrific defense.
Yeah, and that was, honestly, he got a little bit of a bum rap here because while he was here, the defense was falling apart. And
it's terrible.
Yeah. So he didn't look good. But I also think, you know, his defense hung him out to dry a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Carolina, playoff team?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm also going to say yes because I got to put somebody in. And the next team we're talking about is the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay.
Who lost everybody.
Panarin,
Duchesne, Dzingel. They did re-sign Werenski. It took a John Tortorella comment, but they did re-sign Zach Werenski.
Love Torts.
Yeah, and we'll touch on him when we do the RFAs. But they lost their big three. You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois is still there.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
Zach Werenski and Seth Jones are two of the better young defensemen in the league.
Seth Jones might be top three, top five defensemen in the league.
Okay.
I'm willing to say that. Like, top three might be a stretch, but he's top five for me.
I think they might have two of the top five young defensemen, 25 and under, in the league. They're up there. Both of those guys have a case.
Yeah, and Werenski took a very big step with his defensive game last
year.
He's very good
defensively. Tortorella has been great with him.
Yeah.
They also have a question in net because their starter is Jonas Korpisalo.
Yeah.
And I think their backup is Elvis Merzlikins. I believe that's how you say his name.
I couldn't even tell you who their backup is.
Who probably should be competing for a starting job in the ECHL.
Right. Korpisalo's had some hype for a couple years. I mean, the time's now for him.
Yeah, though. They protected him in the Vegas draft, didn't they? No, they protected Bob, but they made a deal to keep Korpisalo.
Yeah, that was the was that the William Karlsson?
Yes,
I believe.
Yes, that was the deal because they wanted to keep specifically to keep Korpisalo safe.
I don't remember who they ended up. Obviously,
they took Karlsson. They traded him a first so that they wouldn't take Korpisalo.
Right.
Which sounds ridiculous when Karlsson goes out and scores 42 goals or whatever it was that last season. Columbus not a playoff team, right?
No,
you can't lose Matt Duchene, Artemi Panarin, Sergei Bobrovsky and make the playoffs.
No, they're missing.
I don't know if, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins could survive a loss like that. I don't know if the Washington Capitals. It's like the Capitals losing Backstrom, Ovechkin, and Holtby.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty much.
Like, that just decimates the entire team.
Yeah, no, they're not making it.
No, I agree.
But because the NHL is weird, they'll win the President's Trophy.
Of course they will. And then get swept in the first round.
That's a new norm.
Complete karmic circle.
Yeah,
that's a new norm. They sweep the President's Trophy winner and then win the President's Trophy and get swept?
Yep.
Man, I can't believe Tampa got swept. We weren't doing this show during the playoffs, but and I still talked pretty much every day. The playoffs were nuts this year.
Oh, insane.
All right, and like, I love when the Flyers make the playoffs, obviously. But I kind of love when they don't because I can just sit back and watch everything.
Right, you're not as stressed.
I get it. When on the nights where they're playing, I sit and watch the whole Flyers game. And don't really turn it off. I'll flip during intermissions. But when the Flyers aren't playing, I can watch all four games at the same time.
Right. Well, the NHL does a good job of starting the first game at like 7 and the second game maybe at 7:30. So by the time the Flyers intermission happens,
you can watch most of the first period of another game. And then the Flyers come back. And, you know, they actually have done a great job. I'll give them credit for that.
The NHL does something right.
I know. They also, the NHL and the NHLPA agreed to keep the CBA extended.
Yeah, no lockout for at least another 2 years.
At least 2 years. So the NHL has done a couple things right.
Here we go.
Right now in the playoffs, you have
who did I have? Carolina, Washington, and Washington, and
Washington, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Devils on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you're like done in the division,
pretty
right?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Well, pretty much.
I have Carolina in, and that's it? Yeah, I have Carolina in, and that's it.
Yeah.
Washington, I'm sorry.
Carolina, Washington, yeah.
Okay, so how about the Islanders?
It's
weird because they lost John Tavares.
And got better somehow.
Last summer, and also Matt Barzal's production cut in half. And they
not
still
entirely
got
in half.
Pretty close, man.
He had like 85 points and then like 65.
It's a pretty big hut.
It is, for sure.
And they got better.
Yeah.
Barry Trotz is incredible, first of all. Second of all, Robin Lehner played the year of his life.
Yeah, for sure.
And turned it into a big fat contract with Chicago.
Yeah, they're going to need that from Varlamov and Greiss.
Yeah, and I don't know if they can get it.
I don't know either. And after Barzal, center-wise, it drops off. I mean, they have Brock Nelson, who's solid. Anders Lee's still there, so he's good. Defensively, he's a little weird.
You got Calvin DeHaan floating around. Yeah, Pulak, Pelech.
Nothing great.
No, you have a bunch of third defensemen.
Yeah.
You don't have any number ones.
Yeah, I'm going to say they missed the playoffs.
Okay.
Because at this point, I have to.
You're out of room. You don't have anybody else making the playoffs.
Well, not necessarily.
Maybe one spot if you bump the Devils out.
Yeah.
So, I believe that leaves us with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Philadelphia Flyers, yep.
So, you're up Kevin Hayes, Matt Niskanen, and Justin Braun. You're down, really, just Radko Gudas?
Yeah. And then speaking of cocaine, Yuri Laterra.
Yuri Laterra. Yeah, whatever. That's cut in dead weight. Yeah, you're down Yuri Laterra, Dale Weiss, but that, I think, makes your team better.
Right.
Andrew McDonald got bought out. Oh, happy day.
Yeah, with the Calgary Flames on
PTO. No, we bought him out. He's now in Calgary on
yeah,
PTO. No,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So Carter Hart's comfortable. He's got 35 starts under his belt.
Yeah, and I think he's let up one goal so far in the preseason.
One goal in the preseason. He stopped 56 of 57.
He's got like a 940 save percentage, 950 save percentage.
It's unbelievable.
Like that. Yeah.
Goals against well below one.
Yep.
Turns out he's decent at hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but I'm scared.
I thought you were about to jump on the hype wagon here.
No, no, I'm scared. Because...
Because all the pressure's on him?
Not only that, but like we haven't seen a good goalie in my lifetime, our lifetime.
Hextall, kind of, tail end.
So tail end, but like...
Not really Roman prime Hextall, though. John Van Beesbroek.
I mean, we don't know what a goalie looks like. I don't know how to react if he goes and is a Vezina nominee.
If he wins 40 games this year.
Yeah, I don't know
with,
how to react.
You know, 9 shutouts. Yeah, I agree. And
so I'm scared.
Yeah.
That it's just not going to go the way we want it to. Because that's just how goaltending works. We signed Bobrovsky to a $700 million deal or whatever
it was.
We're
still paying him.
And yeah, we saw how that worked out. So now I'm not... No, I think Carter Hart has a better head on his shoulders than Briz, but...
You saw behind the glass, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's cool as
terrific.
A cucumber,
yeah,
man.
For sure.
He's sitting in the stands.
For sure.
Like Rain Man, just waving that glove hand around.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have issues. I'm just...
Knock on wood.
Cautiously optimistic. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I'll knock on some wood there because that's a scary concept. But I think your defensive core is going to be better this year.
It should be.
You know, Provorov looks better in training camp.
Yeah, I mean,
Ghost looks better in training camp.
You're like you said, you're down Rakko Gudas and you're up Niskanen and Braun. And to me, that's a plus.
Yeah, I wasn't as low on Gudas as you were.
He just wasn't spectacular. He was fine.
He would have been a lot better if he didn't play with Andrew McDonald a bunch.
But even so, he's not very quick. He doesn't move the puck very well. All he does is just kind of bump you and hit you.
Yeah.
And then eventually do something dirty and get thrown out.
I agree with that.
But Niskanen's a far better puck mover.
Right.
A far better skater. Braun's more defensively reliable.
It's funny because I think for the first time in a long time, like, what's the biggest concern going into the season? For 20 years, the answer to that question has been goaltending.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know. Nolan Patrick?
The biggest conversation this summer.
Nolan Patrick, probably.
The biggest conversation this summer, the biggest hole, the biggest question, the biggest, you know, cause for debate was who's going to play third line right wing?
Yeah.
That's your biggest problem?
Yep.
Flyers are good, man.
Yeah.
Prediction, I'm putting the Flyers in the playoffs. Finishing off the division.
Right. I don't know if that's their concern anymore, though, is the third line winger. Patrick.
For a large portion of the summer, that was it. And I think that means you've done a good job of building a roster.
Like, people were saying this is the year Patrick should have taken a step forward anyway.
And he's very clearly not, because as we talked about earlier, he's week to week.
Yeah.
And even if he wasn't week to week, he still would have been bumped down to the third line.
Right.
Less ice time,
so maybe
better matchups.
Yeah, and the Flyers got gifted with a second overall pick after they had the 13th best chance.
Yep.
Right? Jump to number two, get Nolan Patrick, supposed to kind of change things around and be our savior to a degree.
When
you're getting drafted second overall.
I think he was supposed to usher in the new era.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, there's an expectation that comes with being the second overall pick. Yeah, don't drop the mic there. There's expectations of having being the second overall pick.
For sure. You know, you look at Patrick Laine, you look at Jack Eichel, you know, you look at guys who have come out recently and just dominated right away.
Right.
And Nolan Patrick wasn't that.
No.
But to be fair, neither was Nico Hischier.
No.
So in that
they just
draft,
spiked in the wrong lottery.
Right, exactly. it's just kind of the thing that happens.
Right.
Every once in a while, the guy who comes up second, you know, I don't even want to call him a dud. A dud is too strong. Doesn't have that second overall pedigree.
Right. Yeah, I think it's fair.
I still think Nolan Patrick's going to be a very good player in this
I hope
league.
So. I just wanted to see the jump this year, and it just doesn't
well, it's not gonna
seem
start.
That way.
It's not going to start that way, no.
No.
There's been talk about moving him to the wing, you know, playing him third line wing next to like a Scott Laughton or even like a Morgan Frost.
Right.
I think being on the wing would free him up to play with a little less responsibility.
A little bit.
And I think he would, you know, grip the stick a little less tight, kind of loosen up and play a fluid hockey game. Because it did seem a little bit last year like he was kind of forcing stuff. He was trying too hard.
He knows the expectation.
Exactly. So if you can put him on the wing, he doesn't have to play that defensive center responsibility.
Yep.
He can kind of free up, and it lets him see the ice from a little bit of a different angle. Maybe set up some more passes, maybe score some more goals, maybe get some confidence.
Right.
Because one thing he lacked last year was confidence.
For sure.
Because he knows.
And you've seen flashes here and there.
Right. Which is
really frustrating.
He definitely reads Twitter. Let's be real.
Yeah, well.
He definitely reads his Instagram comments who tell him to step up and score 30 like he should or whatever morons
say. Well, if he does, then he's far more, you know, strong emotionally than Jacob Voracek is.
Who just blocks everybody.
He's the softest dude in the world.
Friendly reminder that Jake has Mike blocked on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm blocked on Twitter. I don't even know what I said. I legitimately don't. I don't know. I probably said something that he deserved, but he's just mentally soft.
Something blue line turnover. Something. You're blocked.
Well, he does it all the time.
I know, but anyway.
But I digress.
Anyway, back to this team. If you're going into training camp with your biggest concern is who's going to win your third line wing spot, and you have multiple options coming into training camp, it was Isaac Ratcliffe, it was Morgan Frost, it was Joel Farabee. Multiple super good viable options.
At this point, sounds like the latter.
It sounds like Joel Farabee is going to make it.
Yep.
Although Chuck Fletcher did say that Morgan Frost might not be down terribly long. I don't know if you saw those comments.
Yeah,
but
it wouldn't surprise me if he's back at some point.
And to be fair, he also had a little bit of a raw deal in the preseason because he had a couple nagging injuries. And
his groin.
He missed a lot of preseason.
Yeah, and that hurts.
Yeah, it's hard to impress when you don't have the shot, when you literally can't play the game.
Yeah. The best ability is availability.
Yep, he gets to go down to Lehigh Valley, get completely healthy, play 15, 20, 30 games, catch his stride, learn how to play professionally, you know, learn how to be, you know, an adult in a men's league, you know, and then he's got all the talent in the world. We'll see him.
Yeah.
You know, if you get an injury this year, if, you know, God forbid, knock on wood, you know, Travis Konecny, Oscar Lindblom, Claude Giroux go down, Morgan Frost can jump in for any of them immediately.
It's also weird seeing number 48 out there.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, it's shades of Danny B. He looks just like him. Yeah, and I don't like it. It's scary. Yeah.
Now, if he wants to put up 30 points in one playoff run, let him wear 48.
Yeah.
But he's got to prove that in my book, because Danny B is, he's not retirement level, because you know how I feel about number retirement.
But, speaking of number retirement, did you see this thing with the QMJHL?
No.
The Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, the junior league up there, is retiring the number 87 throughout the whole entire league for Sidney Crosby.
Ugh.
So he is the Wayne Gretzky of the QMJHL.
Ugh.
Yep, there you go.
You hate to say it, Flyers fans. You hate to say it. It's okay, because they're not making the playoffs this year. So there you go.
I don't think I'll give my prediction. The Flyers are making the playoffs.
Yeah, you have the Flyers in. Yeah. Okay. So do you have five teams from the Metro
I think I'm bumping the Devils.
Okay, that's fine. So that's basically our Metro preview, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So let's move over into the RFAs.
Okay.
One of them signed yesterday at time of recording. Or was it 2 days ago that Patrick Laine finally inked his deal?
Yesterday, I think.
Two years, 6.75.
Yep.
Something along those lines.
And that it had to be a bridge deal. Yeah. It had to be.
I don't think any of them. Did anybody sign an 8-year deal? Trouba did.
Trouba was 7. Was he 8? I thought he was 7.
No, I thought he got traded over. No, it was a 7-year deal. He's got 1 year left on his current deal. He extended for 7.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Right. So, Provorov signed a 6-year deal. Konecny signed a 6-year deal. Marner signed a 6-year deal. But there were a lot
Kachuk
of bridge deals.
Kachuk just signed a 6-year deal.
Was Kachuk 6? Okay. There were a lot of bridge deals this summer. Brock Besser signed for 3.
McAvoy
signed for 3. Carlo signed for
Werenski.
2.
Did Carlo sign?
I think so, yeah. Brendan Carlo signed.
I didn't see that one. Okay.
Werenski signed for 3.
But there's still two big ones out there.
Rantanen's still out there.
Yeah.
And Brayden Point signed a bridge deal too. We get into who's out there still.
Yeah.
So Miko Rantanen's still out there, and who's the other one?
I can't remember.
Kyle Connor, right? The other one in Winnipeg. No.
People thought Connor was going to be the first one.
Yeah, but you have to give Laine kind of whatever he wants, and then work with Connor on what's left.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Connor will get done before the season starts at this point.
Yeah, at this point, I think so. Rantanen's the weird one because they have a ton of cap space.
Right. Well,
they can
also
afford them.
Also, Winnipeg's got some weird stuff going on with Dustin Byfuglien.
Yeah, that is strange.
In case you haven't heard, Dustin Byfuglien took a leave of absence. He basically showed up to camp, and then the next day took a leave of absence, and a report came out that he was, quote, pondering his NHL future. There are rumors that he's going to retire. There are rumors that he's going to retire until January, or whenever the last day before the playoff.
I think it's a trade deadline.
Playoff eligibility cutoff is, which, by the way, is what Justin Williams is doing 100%.
Yeah, probably. We saw it with Mike Fisher last year, whenever it was.
He'll come back to Carolina in February and, you know, wear an A, and they'll make the playoffs, and he'll be Mr. Game 7. But Winnipeg is really in a state of flux. Now, they suspended Byfuglien, but it's not really a...
It's a formality.
Right, it's not a we're-mad-at-you suspension.
No,
it's,
they said, hey, we'll waive the suspension as soon as you come back.
The second he comes back.
Yeah.
But what that suspension allows them to do is basically take his cap hit off the books.
Right.
So until he shows up, he's not counting against their cap, and that gives them a little bit of flexibility to sign Connor, sign Line A.
Right.
You know, do some of these things that they need to do to get themselves under the cap. I wonder if they talked to him at this point and said, hey, wait a little bit so that the cap hit doesn't hurt us quite as bad.
Right. Well, I don't know. Because, like, at the end of the day, when you sign, I mean, the cap's still coming on. You know, whether it's now or in two weeks.
I believe it'll be prorated after the season starts. So the longer he waits, the less he counts against their cap.
That's interesting.
I believe. I'm not entirely sure. I am not a cap expert.
Well, there was something similar with Nylander when he sat out till December.
Well, right. So what? Because that was a new deal, his whole cap hit got condensed into the 4 months. So instead of making 7, he was making 10. Because he sat out for the first 2 months. Well, he made 7. His cap hit was 10 because that's what it would have been over the whole year.
I gotcha.
It's a whole thing. So regardless, there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, before Winnipeg signed Line A the other day, Line A, Connor, and Byfuglien were all up in the air.
Right.
And those are, you know, two pieces of their top 9 and their best defensemen.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and
especially now that Trouba's gone.
I was going to say, if the Trouba's gone, I mean, you still have Morrissey, who's fine.
And Josh Morrissey signed an extension on an incredible contract.
Yeah. 6 or 7 years for 6.25 or something like that.
That's going to be
an
embarrassingly good deal.
Morrissey's very, very good. I'm not ready to say he's great yet. So
that deal could look like Nathan McKinnon's deal in a couple of years. Yeah, he's that good.
But still, you lose Dustin Byfuglien, you're in trouble.
Yeah, for sure. Again, it's like, you know, a top team losing their best defenseman.
Right.
It's going to hurt anybody.
Yep.
You know, the Flyers lose Provorov. That hurts.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Tampa loses Hedman. That hurts.
Right.
But either way, at this point, pretty much all the RFAs are signed. It's just Connor and Rantanen. Rantanen's a question mark. Because like you said, Colorado has a ton of cap space.
Like, it seemed like the only reason...
$15 million?
Right. But, I mean, you look at Marner, who signed for a 10.8 AAV.
Yep.
Right? Is that what it was?
I think it was like 10.893. Okay. So almost 10.9.
Okay, so 10.9. Rantanen, probably better than Marner. At the very least, comparable.
I would say so, yeah.
So he should be asking roughly the same.
Right. He should be going to Colorado and saying, all right, well, 11 by 6.
Right, but the problem is in Colorado is they have a top three player in the league.
They compare everybody to Nathan McKinnon because that's what they should be doing.
Who's making $6 million. Even less than that.
The dumbest contract in the league.
Yeah, he's making about $6
million. The NHLPA should smack Nathan McKinnon upside the head for signing that contract because it screwed everybody
How do you sell to him and your fan base, hey, we're going to pay you close to double what Nathan McKinnon is making?
Right. It's probably going to be 3 years, $8 million. Something in that range. And that's the only thing that's anywhere close to fair.
Right.
It's a bridge deal, so it's going to be a little cheaper. He's making more than McKinnon, but not that much more. McKinnon signed his deal a couple years ago. You can argue inflation. 3 years, between $8 and $9 million is probably where that ends up.
Because
you just can't sign him long term at this point because he's going to ask for 12.
Right.
And he's earned 12, for sure.
Oh, he's an incredible player.
But they don't want to give it to him because he'll be making, like you said, you know, double what McKinnon's making.
Right.
And that's just a bad precedent to set on that team.
For sure. Because McKinnon's the third best player probably in
the
world.
Because is Rantanen better than McKinnon? I mean, they're different, center versus wing. But in terms of position power ranking, they're probably in about the same spot.
Yeah.
You know, Rantanen, you could make a case that Rantanen is the third best winger in the league. Kucherov, Ovechkin, Rantanen's right there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's better. He's above Marner. We just talked about that.
I think they're close, but yeah, I put him above Marner.
And McKinnon's probably about the third best center in the league. So there's a little
I might put Kane above him.
Kane's not a center.
No,
you're still talking about Rantanen.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
I had moved on to centers, and you go, oh, Kane's better.
Sorry, yeah.
But no, I would take Rantanen over Kane at this point, especially because he's 21 or 22 or whatever it is. Yep. And, you know, Patrick Kane's not old, but he's getting there sooner rather than later.
I need Rantanen to sign, you know, for my fantasy hockey team.
Yeah, we are here at Mike's house on the day of our fantasy hockey draft. So he's kind of got fantasy on the brain right now.
A little bit, yeah.
But, you know, and a friend of the show, Dom, is here, and, you know, he kept Dustin Byfuglien this summer, so that kind of tells you what mood he's in. Anyway, either way, Rantanen coming in any more than 3 years would honestly surprise me.
Yeah.
Because I think just kind of has to be a bridge, and you just kind of have to get it done.
Yep, I agree.
Speaking of deals that we never thought were going to get done, Ivan Provorov signed the night before camp.
Yep.
And Konechny, quote-unquote, sat out for about 2 days.
I think he missed one game, maybe?
I think he,
one or two games?
Missed a couple because they didn't just throw him in the first game. They wanted
I don't think he was signed at the first game, and then I think he sat out the second game.
It was pretty
I think he
soon.
Signed in between the first and second game, sat out the second game, played the third.
Something along... He played the fourth, I think. But it was something along those lines. They played, like, five games that week.
Right.
But... you know, you got your guys. I think the Konechny contract is fantastic. It's about right.
Yeah.
6 years, 6.5.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Him and Provorov basically signed the same deal.
Yeah, I think they both make sense.
I think Provorov has potential to be a steal. I think the ceiling is higher on Provorov's, but the floor is higher on Konechny's.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
I think Konechny is not getting any worse. And Provorov is... You know,
well,
Provorov's
weird because we've seen him be a top two defenseman at times, and we've seen him be, be Andrew McDonald at others.
And
so,
as he gets older, he matures.
I like how
you
use Andrew McDonald as a scale.
Just the bar of just being the worst. As he gets older, as he matures a little bit, hopefully he stabilizes out. He'll also have better partners to play with now that your defense is just better.
Mm, for sure.
You know, last year he looked okay. He looked poor at sometimes, but he looked okay a lot. But Travis Sanheim, who played with him, looked great all year.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially after Scott Gordon came in and really took the reins
off
him.
Right, and now you have a guy to play him with that has been there before. He's a veteran. He's won a cup. Yeah. He knows what it takes to win.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you can instill that in the young guys like a Provorov, Sanheim, Konechny.
What do you think the pairings look like this year?
If I had to guess, probably Provorov, Niskanen...
You think so?
Yeah.
The only reason I don't like that as a pairing, because Sanheim and Gostisbehere are both offensively minded, and I think they both have a spot in your top four.
Who'd you say, Ghost
and Sanheim?
Sanheim. Okay, sorry.
So I would rather split them up and put Ghost with Niskanen and keep Sanheim and Provi together because they played so well last year.
Maybe. So I think it's going to be Provorov, Niskanen, Braun, Ghost.
You have Sanheim on the bottom pair?
Sanheim and any combination of...
Moran, Hag,
Myers.
Myers, right. Yeah, because that's the other roster spot we didn't talk about, is that sixth defenseman. There's basically those three horses in the race. Sam Moran, Robert Hag, and Philippe Myers.
Right, it seems like Hag has the inside track at this point.
It seems like Hag has the inside track, but Phil Myers is so good.
He's struggled though this preseason.
Yeah,
he looked better in this game two nights ago against.
Now, I don't believe he's waiver eligible.
Who, Myers?
Yeah, I don't believe he's waiver eligible.
No, yeah,
so
he wouldn't have.
He can still go back to Lehigh Valley pretty easily.
Where Moran and Hag
would have to clear.
They both sure would. Hag, yeah. Okay.
So you can send Myers back down to the Phantoms and let him play top pair, let him play 25 minutes a night.
God, could you imagine this fan base if he gets sent down?
Over who, though? I know the analytics dorks hate Robert Hag, and I know you're not the biggest fan, but the analytics dorks think he's legitimately like McDonald level.
He's not that bad, but he's not good.
Sam Moran's biggest problem has been staying healthy.
he's been healthy this whole camp, and he's been terrible.
I don't think he's been terrible.
He's been bad.
I think he's been okay. I think he's been a little slow. I think he's been a step down. But, you know, I'm willing to give him a shot. I think if you rotate him and Hag, I'm willing to give him a shot.
I've seen enough from Sam Moran. Get him far away from this team.
I understand.
I'm ready to call him a bust.
I think we're getting close to that point.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. And I like Sam. I'm a fan of what he is and what he could be. But I agree that he hasn't lived up to expectations.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, by the way, we just got a little news from Dom. Apparently, Provorov and Sanheim have been paired together recently.
Breaking news, huh?
Right. In the preseason.
Look at Dom breaking news. What do you got here, Dom?
Oh, boy.
Are the Flyers Lions today? This was, what's today's date? The 28th, right?
Is this practice today in Switzerland?
Okay. As of 10:09, the Flyers Lions is Drew Couturier Konechny.
Expected.
Lindblom Hayes Voracek.
Pretty much expected, yeah.
JVR Lawton Farabee.
Okay, with Patrick out, that makes sense.
Raffle Bunneman Twarinski.
Yeah, Bunneman, that's the other one. I think he's making the roster out of camp, but only because Nolan's hurt.
Who's Jay Bunneman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
He was solid in the preseason.
He looks solid.
He looks good. I don't think his ceiling is much higher than, like, Scott Lawton's.
Right.
You know, I don't think he's anything more than about a bottom six player.
Right.
But at the same time, he was solid in the preseason, and he's going to make the roster. And when Nolan Patrick's healthy, he's probably going to get sent back down. And we're gonna have Dom sit in for a second. Someone is calling Mike. You don't have to put the headset on if you don't want to. Live radio here in Mike's basement.
What's going on?
What's up, Dom? Friend of the show, Dom Console. How are you
doing,
buddy?
Try to get on a couple episodes.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just talk about it while Mike's upstairs. Moving forward, Mike will be stepping back from co-hosting duties. And it's kind of sad. The original run of the show, it was me and Mike every week. But we talked about it a little bit earlier. His wife's having their second kid. His family's growing. He doesn't really have time to sit down and do a weekly podcast anymore.
Right.
And you can't really fault him for that.
No, no, no.
He's growing up. He's an adult. You know, what's that like?
Trust me, I don't want to know.
So moving forward, I'm still going to be your host. I'm still going to be here every week. I'm going to have Mike's dad on a bunch of shows, Mike Sr. He was on a couple episodes in our original run that you can go back and listen to. We're gonna have Dom sit in whenever he can.
Yeah, so here comes Mike back. Yeah, I hope Mike's to get on as much as I can, but we'll see, you know.
Dom's also a busy guy.
Yes.
So we're going to have Mike's dad on. We're going to have Dom on as much as we can. Friend of the show, Ben, will be on as much as you can.
I'm back. Sorry about that. The Philly Pretzel Factory screwed up my order somehow, so I had to figure that out.
I just told our listeners that you're stepping back from hosting duties.
Okay, so you gave him the news,
yeah.
Huh?
Mike is not leaving the show. He's still going to be on as a producer.
Yeah.
He will still be the one uploading our episodes. He'll be running the Twitter account at YWT Podcast.
You're all in trouble.
Yeah,
that's the case.
For sure. He's going to be a producer. He'll do our editing. He'll do our uploading. The current plan is to upload on Sunday evenings. So make sure your podcast catcher refreshes that. It'll be in all the usual spots.
Yeah, it might take a couple days after this goes up to be on iTunes. I had to resubmit.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I had to resubmit it. So that I know that usually takes a couple days. So.
Yeah, but
it'll be on Spotify, Podbean.
Within a couple of weeks, it'll be on Spotify. It'll be on Podbean, iTunes.
Yeah, for sure. But, this just allows me to... I mean, commitment was a big issue and is the reason that it ended back 11 months ago.
Absolutely. Your family's getting bigger.
Right, so this kind of allows me to still have a role and still be into the podcast and into the show, but it kind of allows me just to step in a different role and do other stuff.
Yeah, and Mike is... still 100% involved in the creative process, in scheduling shows and getting guests and organizing who's going to co-host and when we record. He's still involved in every single discussion. We've been in some talks about some potential sponsorships, and Mike's involved in those conversations as well. He's not leaving.
No.
You know, and every once in a while, if the availability opens up, he knows the door is always open for him to pop in on a show and sit down with us and record. But in addition to, you know, as part of Mike stepping away, we're also going to be moving to recording mostly online.
Yeah.
Now, all our shows have been in person at, you know, for the most part. Me at Mike's house, we sit down with, you know, with the mics plugged into the computer and we do the thing. It's going to be switching to a Skype or a Discord or something along those lines. So there might be a slight change in quality moving forward.
Let's pull back the curtain here.
But we are still committed to bringing you the best show we can. We're doing everything we can to get the quality up and keep it up because we know that's what you guys expect. Even though we just had a whole thing where microphones and headsets got dropped and our host ran out and our other host ran
in. Blame the Philly Pretzel Factory.
It's all their fault.
Unless they want a sponsorship.
Spoiler alert, they're not one of our sponsors. No free ads.
No, none.
So that's basically it. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about on the show?
I think we covered it all. I think we're good.
Yeah, you know, we did talk about a lot, and the show will be back next week. I believe it's going to be me and Mike's dad hosting. The door's open for Ben and Dom to jump on the recording. We haven't quite figured that out yet. But that's basically going to be it. Next week, we're going to do a season preview, another season preview with the new host, whether it's Dom or Ben or Mike's dad.
And at that point, the Philadelphia Flyers season is underway.
Yeah, they will have one game under their belt. Yep. They will have a game against the Chicago Blackhawks. Mike, real quick, do they win that game or lose that game? One game against the Blackhawks in October. Predict
such
it. Go.
An insane prediction.
Yeah,
such
go
an
for
insane
it.
Insane prediction.
Give me a score.
Sure.
Dom has a Flyers dub. All right.
Now here's a question I don't know if anybody has really asked. Is there NHL size ice over there? Or are they playing on
I asked you and you didn't know we haven't looked it up. I don't know if they're playing on international ice or NHL ice. Regardless, I think 5-2
Flyers.
I think Carter Hart gets his first career shutout.
Oh, okay.
You heard it here first. Now until next time. You can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find Mike at Mike_Giletto. And you can find us everywhere else. And until then, we'll be back next week. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to be back.
All right, see you guys.